Good morning, Joan.
Good
Welcome
morning.
Back.
They're cool inside, thank the Lord, but boy, you sure want to be on the shady side of the street these days, right?
Or in Castel Gandolfo.
Or in Castel Gandolfo, where the Pope is. But, you know, I mean, I look at the news from the U.S., and it's like, there's no way I'm going to stress how hot it is in Rome, because they're suffering enormously in such big parts of the United States, and especially where there was those huge unexpected storms last weekend that knocked down, it looked like, a whole forest of trees, and people still, a million plus, without electricity, meaning, okay, you don't have air conditioning. You also don't have a refrigerator.
Of course.
And a freezer and any of the other commodities of life. So anyway, we are all trying our best to remain cool. And you mentioned Castel Gandolfo because the Pope did go there Tuesday of this week. And so it's going to be a quiet summer, folks. The Holy Father for all of July does not have the weekly general audiences, and he did not, of course, I mean this week on Wednesday. He will recite the Angelus from at the inner courtyard of the Apostolic Palace, but and then the weekly audiences begin in August, but I think still, I have to make sure,
in
I think
Castel
still
Gandolfo.
At Castel Gandolfo, exactly.
Yes.
So he really, really loves that and prefers actually just to go there, stay there, enjoy the beautiful view. So you can understand why he likes to be out there and just also not going to some of the places in northern Italy that John Paul went to and Benedict did for a few years. It's like it's a double move. So anyway, we wish you the best, Your Holiness. I hope you have a wonderful, cool time. Enjoy those views. Enjoy the walks in the garden, do it in the cool hours, and if you ever want company, you know where to find us. But so that'll be for a couple months, and then we do know the Pope is going. We'll get to that in a minute. He's going to Lebanon in September.
That's right.
His itinerary was revealed, and also announced, perhaps unexpectedly for some, but over the weekend, the prelate of Loreto, Archbishop Giovanni Tonucci, did announce that on Thursday, October 4th, the Holy Father will go to the Shrine of Loreto to entrust to the intercession of Mary the work of the Synod of Bishops in the Year of Faith, and the Synod will begin just days after that. And interestingly enough, this visit will take place to Loreto on the 50th anniversary of Pope John the 23rd's trip to Assisi by train. Now, Benedict will go by helicopter. But John the 23rd went to Assisi and Loreto.
Oh, you went to Assisi
and
Loreto.
Sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Okay. Loreto is in Le Marche region, isn't it?
And yes, I believe.
So
yes, it is.
It's south of Assisi.
It's a very small, you know, town itself. Obviously, the whole shrine
there's
is
a very
the
interesting relic there.
Dominant part of the town. So I just, maybe I'll go for a weekend and lay the groundwork for his visit. But also, this is this visit on the 4th is the 50th anniversary of, as I said, John the 23rd's trip to Assisi and Loreto, and that was the eve of the opening of the Second Vatican Council.
That's right.
So that will be nice. The Holy Father will have that little, you know, that'll be in October.
Meantime, activity is bustling away in the Vatican.
And things are coming down in general because, obviously, your curial stuff, once the Holy Father's away, then the other offices kind of feel like, okay, maybe we can go away too. So the heads of various dicasteries and a lot of the personnel, you may find some of the offices, which don't have huge staffs anyway, you may find a third to half of their staff away in July and then in August. No press conferences. And so the you know, immediate effect of that on us is a lighter schedule, which is very nice. It's time to catch up on other to wind down, but to catch up on projects you may have put on the back burner and research and things like that. So we did have the last papal event was, if you want to call it that, was the Angelus on Sunday, and the Pope spoke of the physical and spiritual healings. He spoke of the Mark's Gospel, where this the evangelist tells us about the two miraculous healings that Jesus performed in favor of women. One, of course, was the young daughter, I believe 12 years old, of Jairus, one of the leaders of the synagogue, and then the other was a woman who had hemorrhaging for about half of her life. And so the Pope spoke of physical healings, but he also spoke of spiritual healings, and he said the most important one, like for the woman who just simply wanted to touch Jesus' robe and she had a feeling she'd be cured. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." And it was interesting because while the Pope emphasized both the physical and the spiritual healing aspects, he said these stories of healing are invitation for us to overcome our purely, I thought this was interesting, our purely horizontal and materialistic view of life. We ask God to relieve us our concrete needs, and the Pope said, and that's absolutely right, but we should ask him for a stronger faith and trust in his love and his providence that he will not abandon us. And then the Pope linked the healings in the gospel to those people who always seem to be around, and that's caregivers and doctors and nurses and those who do take care of the sick and help them carry their crosses. So
right.
He kind of was thanking your professional caregivers and healthcare professionals in that Angelus.
You mentioned earlier that the itinerary of his visit to Lebanon has been revealed.
It's very interesting because, I mean, he'll be there, if you look at the hours, a very short period. Now, Beirut is an hour ahead of Rome. The Pope leaves the morning of September 14th, and that is, he gets Beirut like 1:45 their time, local time. So I'm guessing he's going to eat on the plane because there's no mention of a meal with the bishops as he gets to Beirut. Then he'll go to Harissa. When he lands, he goes to Harissa. This is so beautiful, to the Basilica of St. Paul, and he'll sign the post-synodal apostolic exhortation, which is the whole reason for his trip. He will give that to the bishops at Mass on Sunday. Of course, the Pope will visit the shrine, the president of the country, prime minister and speaker, and it's very interesting. We won't go into these details today, but how by law each office has to be fulfilled by a religious, a different, so the, I think it's the president of the country has to be Christian, then another one has to be a Shiite Muslim, and another has to be a Sunni Muslim, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, there's a number of different luncheons scheduled. The Pope will meet with Muslim communities, address representatives of the government, the diplomatic corps, religious leaders, and the world of culture. And he will on Saturday address young people in front of the Maronite Patriarchate of Bekerke. And then he'll celebrate Mass Sunday at the Beirut City Center waterfront, consign the exhortation. After Mass, lunch with members of the entourage at the Apostolic Nuncture. That evening, then, there will be a prayers ecumenical gathering, and the Pope will leave for Rome.
It's the first time Benedict goes to Lebanon.
Yeah.
The last time was Pope John Paul II. Quite a
different circumstances.
Long
well, we're
time
hoping
ago as well.
Things are okay. I mean, Syria, the problems with Syria that are kind of overflowing into Lebanon.
Yes.
And again, we won't go into the politics too much of Syria's hand in governing.
But there are also thousands of refugees flowing, over the border in seek of safety. From
Oh, when I was
Syria.
There 2 years ago, I visited, when I was in Iraq 2 years ago, on my way back, as I flew from Beirut to Erbil in northern Iraq, and so Rome to Beirut, and then I spent some time in Beirut after Iraq, and I met a lot of the Iraqi refugee communities and Palestinians, and so those are fascinating stories in themselves. The Holy Father could spend a week, as small mm-hmm. as Lebanon is. He could actually spend a week there if it was a question of visiting shrines, if it was a question of visiting, refugees. There's just so much history and church history there. And then you've got all these rites, Maronite, Melkite,
right.
and the Chaldean, less so, but they will be there, the Syriac. And so a fascinating trip with, you could have 10 people analyzing this trip, each one from a different point of view, and it will be a fascinating, a very rich trip.
Shall we just wrap up with a mention that Cardinal Bertone has been reconfirmed as Secretary of State?
Exactly.
In an official communique, shall we say.
Yes, the Pope, in a letter that he starts on the eve of my departure, and his departure was Tuesday, to spend the summer months at Castel Gandolfo, I express my profound appreciation for your discreet presence and wise counsel, which I found particularly helpful over recent months, and we know the scandal laden history of recent months and stolen documents. And then the Pope did mention, he said, having noted with sorrow the unjust criticisms that have been directed against your person, I reiterate the expression of, you know, my personal esteem and so forth. And it's interesting because Cardinal Bertone did turn in his resignation as church law demands by heads of the dicasteries, by residential archbishops and so forth, at the age of 75. Now, this coming December, I think it's 2nd, he will be 78. So the Pope has reconfirmed and reconfirmed his presence. And interestingly enough, Cardinal Sodano, who was Bertone's predecessor, was in his position till the age of 78. Oh. So if in December, when he actually becomes 78, we should not be surprised
should the Pope decide to accept his resignation.
Right. So
he too has a right to
a more restful Castel Gandolfo and a rest time. Exactly.
Thank you very much, Joan.
See you next week.